Hey, all my amigos y familia. This is Chef JK, or Josh. You can also call me Yosh. You're listening to The Family Cast. Food and music is life, yes? We're about to start the episode, but first, I need to hear some music. So let's dig in. Well, hello there. Howdy. Hola. Hi. All that good stuff. Good morning, good day, good evening, whatever time you may be listening to this very special after-school special bonus episode of The Family Cast. Because food and music is life, yes? We can all agree on that, I think. Obviously, there are other things in life that are important, but in this particular show, we talk about those two things and everyone that's related to those. So today is also a very special guest. I got Mr. Troy Johnson, San Diego native, who's been on my radar for a long time because I used to watch and follow him as his career was in the music industry when he was a writer for music stuff. Then he transitioned to working more in the food industry, particularly writing about food and also being on television talking about food. And now you may know him from being on Guy's Grocery Games on the Food Network as a judge. And he's also very prolific in his Instagram account and Twitter accounts for his humor. And also he's a husband and father. And we just get into kind of all of that. I got him in between, you know, six or seven of his other meetings that day, so I totally appreciate the conversation that we had, and we even talk a little bit about our personal stuff with our ADHD and how that affects our work life and our home life and all that kind of stuff. So needless to say, it was just a really fun conversation. I'm glad we got to finally do it, and I look forward to having a glass of beer with after his Peloton series is over. He's working off all those calories from being a food critic and such. But yeah, it was just a good time, and I wanted to say a special shout out thanks to our friends at New Belgium Brewing for sending me some brews for this episode. We got having some Voodoo Ranger, different kinds of IPAs and stuff, so be sure to check those out at your local place where you enjoy your New Belgium beers and or buy your cans and such. So yeah, without any further ado, here's my fun conversation with awesome dude, Troy Johnson. Ladies and gentlemen, Troy Johnson, thank you very much on The Family Cast. Yeah, man, I'm on here with Mr. Troy Johnson. Famous, semi-famous, whatever you want to call it.
D-lister.
D-lister from OB.
But for those of my friends that are in like India and Canada, what is OB mean? Like, what is obesian? Like, how we're going to talk about a couple things here. I know we got Troy between six meetings and stuff like that, but I'm a man of many talents and much history in this part of my life. So, obviously on the family cast, we're talking about food and music pairings, and you're one of those people in my life that kind of intersects in both of those industries and genres. So, you know, and your humor is right up my alley. So I thought we could get into a little bit of that, but I don't know how far back we really want to go. Are you born and raised in San Diego?
Born or raised, I never left. They told me I should get the hell out of here. And I said, they said, look, if you really want to be a writer, you want to be a TV person. I didn't really want to be a TV person, to be quite honest with you. I just knew that I could actually make a reasonable living on television. And if I stayed a writer, that I'd be, you know, rubbing pennies together to get a fire to heat my place, you know? So I was like, I don't know. I mean, I'll try to do this TV thing. And they keep on letting me on despite all the performances. You know, honestly, yeah, I was born and raised here, and everybody told me I should leave. And I just said, look, if you're gonna, I love San Diego so damn much. It is one of the most authentic cities I've ever come across in my life. And I've traveled. I mean, I'm not, you know, Richard Branson or anything like that. I'm not Stanley Tucci. You know, I'm not gallivanting around Europe and, you know, and then, you know, but San Diego, in terms of me, for California and the United States, it just has this laid back vibe that, you know, the people are authentic. There's no posturing, there's no stance, there's no, in fact, if you take a stance, they just ship you up to LA immediately, you know. And I was like, I want to make my city cool. I mean, I want to help. I mean, and not that I'm going to make it cool, but I think if enough of us creative stay around, you know, instead of leaving
Leaving,
their
yeah.
city because they're like, oh, it's just Tommy Bahama shirts and Shamu. There's like a guy in a Tommy Bahama shirt riding Shamu. And I'm like, no, we got more, man. We got art, we got chefs, we got music, and I want to help bring these things to light. So I just
Yeah.
stayed around,
I like
man.
it. I love it. Yeah, there's always hopes when you like there's a rising star and then oh they went to Nashville or they went to LA or to pursue their careers, but like those few, so it's cool that you're native and stayed around and still trying to bring us to the masses, whether it's through shows or TV or radio or writing or whatever.
Yeah, ideally that's what you want to do, right? You want to find creative people and shine a light on them. And you know, I mean, my whole thing, my entire life, you know, and we talk about music here in your podcast, you know, and I started writing about music. You know, I was just
Yeah,
kid who fell
definitely.
in love with Social Distortion and Bad Religion, and you know, started my own indie rock TV show in San Diego, and that was the craziest thing, man.
That was awesome. That was so awesome.
Oh, dude, it was so crazy. I mean, for anybody who's listening that, you know, doesn't know the show, like I was a music editor for an alternative weekly, which was like this tiny little paper, but we loved it, you know, and it was great. It was great journalists working their asses off for it, you know, and I would get 300 CDs across my desk a month. Well, iTunes and Pandora and anything online wasn't
Nothing.
around then,
Yeah.
you know. So there was the mainstream radio could only play 1% of all that music that came out.
Yeah.
And 80% of it that was sent to me was crap. But from 80 to 99%, man, there was like TV on the radio, Modest Mouse, all these
Yeah.
kinds of bands. And I convinced this local news station, which had a really good reputation, like pretty people with great teeth and nice hair, you know, to let me bring on like the Locust and these bands that were just noise terrorism. And they let me come into the corner of the studio. And that's where I started doing all this, you know. I mean, it's been a weird and wild ride, you know,
Yeah, for
through
sure.
media to stay in San Diego. I mean,
That's
and the only reason
awesome.
why I have this job now is because I got fired, you know, because I got dropped from everything in 2008 when the economy collapsed, and I had to take a job that they said they're gonna have to write about food. And then I wrote about food, ended up back on TV with Food Network, and you know,
Yeah.
shit, here I still am.
Do you miss the music days? I mean, obviously that was awesome, and now you're still doing awesome stuff in the food world. But is there a way that you could like combine those anyhow with what you're doing now with like, you know, Guy's Grocery Games and writing for San Diego Magazine and all these things that you're doing food wise? I know that your base, your love is has started with music and all that. So how does that play out in your life
Dude,
now?
I wish. You know how many people have talked to me about together, like, oh, dude, you do food. The biggest nut that every producer has tried to crack for decades is combining music and food. They're like, if we could just
What?
create the ultimate tea, there you go. You've got it, buddy. I mean, that's it. So, I mean, that's it. They're like, if you could just crack this thing, here's the god-awful truth, man. I
Yeah,
mean,
yeah.
I was
Give it to me.
I was an indie rock kid for, you know, 10 years in San Diego. You know, I was living at the Casbah, which is, you know, San Diego's dingy, dirty, dark rock dive. I lived there 5 days a week. I was not joking you. 5 days a week I was there watching bands. And after one day I looked around and I was 33 years old, you know, and I looked around and there was all these 20-year-olds that looked like they were either on heroin or pretending to be on heroin or wish they were on heroin. And I, you know, and they're all just young and sexy and live. And, you know, they look like, you know, they were just people that would go home and have good sex, you know? And I'm like, you know what? I think I'm a little bit aged out of this, man. I'm like, it's time for me to move on. So when I moved on, I had listened to so many buzz bands. Like my nights consisted of sitting there with a headphone and listening to the first 30 seconds and skipping forward and everything else of all these new records over and over for hours at home. And I was like, when I was done, all I listened to for like 10 years was Miles Davis and REO Speedwagon. Like I was just like, you know, I don't want to listen to anything new.
Kind of chill. Yeah.
I don't want to listen to anything. I'm like, I'm done with music, you know, but now actually I'm getting back into it, you know, because of all the
great,
you know, like Spotify and everything else. I mean, Spotify may not be great for the artist. I'm not really sure. I haven't really looked into the business model. Mm-hmm. So don't quote me on saying that's amazing. But for me as a listener, it's great.
As a listener.
Discovering all of this, you know, indie folk. Like I love sad bearded indie folk. I like people who look like you and sing like Iron Wine, you know. And that's so I'm getting back into it now. Maybe at some point, you know, it might, you know, I might do something with it again. People always threaten me to ask me in a threatening way to get Fox Rocks back together. It doesn't matter how much. I've been on Food Network since 2010. And, you know, and for me, I felt like a big deal. For me, I was like, okay, this is all right, man. I've done okay, you know? And I think this is probably the biggest thing I've done, you know, nationally.
Nationally.
And people in San Diego, they're like, Fox Rocks guy! Amen! You're the Fox Rocks guy! It's cool, man. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? I mean, maybe if I get a little midlife crisis and I learn how to play acoustic guitar, I'll do something where like I'm making music with other people and then we do food and we cook.
Okay.
Yeah,
else. For sure.
That,
I got
you into food right now.
Yeah. I got you. We'll do some pairings and stuff like that. So,
nice.
I know I catch you at little spots here and there around town. I mean, food wise, like little indie restaurants and stuff like that. Of which San Diego has many. Big little town, obviously, like what, 7th biggest in the nation. We still got, I don't think we get the recognition we deserve for the food on the food wise, right? There was a time when we were the hot music scene, right? Those are your Casbah days. I mean, we're basically the same age. And now, I mean, there was a time when we were having a little food hill, you know, peak or whatever. Not that it has peaked, but like we were getting noticed.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. Tell me what it's like now. Like, you know, you're still obviously probably eating at least once a week out, right? Or I mean, for reviews.
I went to 5 like restaurants that. Yesterday. Yeah.
Dude. Whoa. Fire. Okay.
I mean, that's my job, right? I have to.
That's
go.
That's amazing.
Some weeks I go to like one, you know, but when go anywhere between, usually I go anywhere between 3 and 20 restaurants a week, you know, and if I'm on a big issue, like a big, like a guide to Asian food or a guide to whatever, I'll go to a bunch of different restaurants, you know, 5 a day. But the, you know, San Diego was a backwater food town, like one streetlight sort of like food scene. You know, I mean, Gordon Ramsay like whistled, you know, like as he was passing San Diego on the way to Phoenix, you know, I mean, I don't know. It was backwoods, man. And then in 2007 was really when we got our first like farm to tables with like Region Restaurant and a few other places. And then it really didn't crescendo until last year. And of course, last year in 2019, that was the first year that we genuinely saw the national food media start to sniff around San Diego. Mm-hmm. You know, it really got interest. Bon Appetit was sending their people, you know, Condé Nast, Vogue did their first feature in San Diego in the last year. I mean, it really started to generate interest because all of the other major metropolitan markets have already had their moment. They've already been written about ad nauseum and everybody's looking for that next place.
They're like, where's next? Yeah. Like,
and San Diego has that. I mean, it really has a bunch of great chefs. We've got the border right here, which is the most terribly exciting thing in the world. I mean, you got all this Mexican influence coming
across.
It's
so hot. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I mean, it's honestly, San Diego was having its moment and then COVID hit. you know?
Right.
And I think that San Diego is going to have its moment immediately after this comes out, because where are people going to want to go and where are people going to feel comfortable going, you know, once this all opens back up? They're not going to immediately run back into the most crowded city in the world. You mm-hmm. know, they're going to run, excuse me, they're going to run to a city like San Diego that has outdoor availability of almost everything, you know, and outdoor yeah. seating and sunlight and everything else. San Diego is going to have, I believe, a record year in the next year for food, for chefs, for everything else.
I hope so, for all my chef friends and brewery owners and everybody that's in the industry. Like, we need it for sure. I mean, yeah. That was crazy. Obviously, we don't have to get into the darkness of that, but like, it was also, there were some things good happened when you got fired from one thing, you moved on to your next, you know, dream gig, basically.
For sure.
I mean, I don't know if there's something bigger and better for you out there. If you have like some dream you haven't accomplished yet. I know you've written books and you're on national television and, you know, music editor when it was Slam. Was Kevin doing Slam then, or was that?
Yeah, Kevin Helm was the publisher of Slam. Yeah, I okay. joined out with him. It was just he and I in the office. And then
oh, nice. That's really old school. Yeah. Cool. So shout out to Kevin Hellman. Rest in peace, City Beat, and all that stuff. And then, so what's it? How do you juggle like working for Food Network and then also writing for San Diego Magazine and then longing, you know, also, you know, husband and father, and then also longing to still write more books and, you know, maybe do your music show eventually or whatever, you know, like how does juggling work when you're so busy?
I juggle poorly. That's how you do it.
Oh,
you just,
yeah.
Okay. You know, it's just a
I'm a terrible juggler.
Swirling vortex of chaos, brother. I mean, that's really what it is. You're just juggling and you're failing at certain things, you know, and you're just, you know, kind of trying to keep it all alive. For the last 10 years, you know, I've done, you know, Food Network, San Diego Magazine, and then a show I do for the Big Ten Network called Campus Eats, which is going around to all the big major Big Ten mm-hmm. college towns like Penn mm-hmm. State, Ohio State, all those, you know, and finding the best restaurants in those Big Ten school towns. Well, this year coming up is going to be my last year. I just announced it for Big Ten, because I want to focus on my city. You know, like yeah. I've tried to elevate the platform that I have so I can bring up the local people that I have, you know, and not just local, but, you know, just bring up, you know, the people in the creative people that I know in San Diego. I'd like yeah. to, you know, get a bigger platform for, if I have a bigger platform, they do, you know,
exactly.
And so now, though, I've kind of gotten, you know, you've worked three jobs just to make a single career that pays for your daughter, you know, pays for your mm-hmm. wife, you know, pays mm-hmm. for the rent, you know, in San Diego. Nobody can own in San Diego. I think it's a myth. I definitely don't, you know, but you know, now I want to tell more stories about San Diego. So I'm working on a few big projects, you know, that I can't mm-hmm. really talk about right now because
genuinely,
I'm legally, I would get sued.
Okay.
But for San Diego, I've got a few things in the works that, you know, I'm really going to start focusing more on telling the stories and doing the stuff that I did on TV for Food Network and for Big Ten.
Yeah.
And do it here. You know,
I've noticed you've been doing your Instagram lives with some of my chef friends. And that's been really cool to see, you know, because they deserve more recognition, because, you know, it was also hard to advertise during COVID because you couldn't like show off your food necessarily as well as word of mouth because there was not as many customers. But so I think those little, you know, those kind of Instagram live shows could blossom into something awesome with like local highlights, or like when you have like, you know, Philip or Letty on, you know, like doing those things, or, you know, how do we bring Alfarone into the spotlight, or, you know, like, I don't know. I always like seeing the come up. It's basically the same idea as how Fox Rocks, or, you know, having Maroon 5 on your TV show, you know, way back when, or, you know what I mean? Like what? Like who is it? And now they're all of a sudden they're on Super Bowl halftime show, you know? So yeah. How do we get the San Diego chefs into that spotlight? You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, with that thing, the Instagram live thing, I remember when the pandemic first hit, and, you know, what my job in San Diego Magazine is to interview people, to find something cool, interview the people, go experience it, write the story, send it to an editor, get the photos, put on the web, everything else. And when the pandemic hit, my restaurant friends were hurting so bad.
Right.
I mean, it was, I would wake up to hundreds of emails saying like, help, 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 Troy, help. And I didn't have, the old way of doing business didn't work for me. This was informational triage. I had people that needed attention yeah. for their businesses right away. So I just went to my wife one day and I said, look, I'm just going to open up my Instagram and I'm going to invite chefs on and just have them like, you know, show me food, show people food, order takeout. Here, look at this. Tell me what this dish is, why it's special. And just, And it really, at first my wife was like, are you fucking nuts? You know, I'm like, I mean, it's like, you don't know if somebody's going to come on naked. You don't know if somebody's going to like say something like, you know, she's in media too. And she's, you know, she kind of legally, is this going to open up everything to us? You know, like somebody could come on and say some anti-Semitic stuff, you know? And I'm I'm going to take a chance that these people are going to be good people and just like get their information out immediately. You know, and that's what I did. Mm-hmm. So I opened up those Instagram lives, and man, I think since the pandemic started, you know, I've done over like 60 or 70 different chefs, and
yeah,
you know, it's been such a good thing, not only for them, it's helped them, and they've told me it's helped them. That's not the point. It helped me, really. And I'm not like one of those like cliche things like, well, I tried to help them, but really it was them who helped me. But you know, you know, like some bullshit. But no, it did. It really did, because it kept me connected, you know, and it kept me connected to these people, and it kept me connected to that creativity. And it really, you know, helped me like just foster my conversation skills and not become a total hermit drinking 7 bottles of wine on my front porch, which I am very likely to do in most days of the week. You know, it was great.
It is for, you know, it's happy hour right now. So
absolutely,
you know, cheers to you. Yeah. So, I mean, another thing that we relate in a personal life is I too have ADD or ADHD. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, when we're talking about juggling and stuff like that, it's like almost like, well, I know for me personally, I need a little bit of chaos to make focus happen. Mm-hmm. I'm not on prescriptions, or I know I've experimented with different, you know, CBD or whatever, just to try to do it. But really the thing that does it for me is sometimes a good chaotic soundtrack, you know, or, you know, sometimes whether it's Locust or, you know, whatever metal band, you know, stuff like that. So I can go, what's my prep list? What's my menu for the week? Those kind of things. And then also there is times where it's chill music too, but like, do you find with your, you know, your ADHD, do you do anything like that where you have to have some noise or like chaos?
I think you're absolutely right. Chaos does kind of help me focus. I mean, chaos when I have 6 or 7 different projects that I've got to line up. I mean, you know, I was diagnosed with ADHD like off the charts, you know, years ago. And I knew I had it, you know, I mean, I have trouble focusing for sure. I can't just sit down on a blank page, you know, but a loud soundtrack, and I use a loud music all the time. It kind of drowns out I'm not going to say other voices in my head, because that's a very serious problem that other people have, but it brings out the like scatteredness, you know, like those thoughts, you know, like meditation is the other way that people deal with that. And what that is training you on how to kind of like let go of certain thoughts. Something comes to your head, you just kind of tuck that away, and you only focus on your breathing, you know, and it's teaching you how to ignore ancillary thoughts. But what about this? What about this? You know, that's what I have going on in my own head.
Right,
you know, and
right.
So when you do get a loud soundtrack like that, or you get that loud music that you're just in, it kind of does drown you out to a point where you have to singularly focus on that light in the tunnel.
Right.
For sure, that helps.
Yeah. I'm glad you can relate, because I said something about that on a previous show, and people didn't really understand that I need that to be like this. Because if I have nothing, then it's kind of like my thoughts will just kind of go out into that atmosphere.
Fill that space. It'll start decorating. Yeah.
Too many thoughts or whatever. So like, so I have to figure out a way to center it. So it's like, wow, you know, the 160 BPM or whatever will be like, oh, wow, okay. I'm going to place my specialty produce order, or, you know, like whatever.
Right.
So,
totally. Well, I mean, so. And I think a lot of chefs are like that too. I remember went up to Le Pigeon, whatever it is.
Gabe.
Yeah, exactly. So I went up there, you know, and it was just them two cooking in this little performance kitchen, just blasting like hip hop, blasting like metal. It was just, and they were focused. And I was like, I get it. I absolutely get that. Just give me that intense chaos so I can focus on this singular thing in front of me.
You heard it here. The Family Cast. You don't need prescription drugs. You need some metal.
Right? You need some metal, man. That's it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's times for where Miles Davis is welcome. My record collection is full of jazz and stuff like that. But like in the kitchen, we need certain things, right? So,
absolutely.
Yeah. What are you doing these days to stay fit?
You know, we invested, even though I feel like a little bit of a douchebag saying this, but in the beginning of the
a little bit,
I say that about a lot of the things I say, so it's not totally out of character. But in the beginning, we knew we paid for a gym membership, you know, and it wasn't fancy gym. We just went to the Y. We went to the YMCA, you know, on older bikes. But I got up to one point, you know, in my just eating and working all the time and everything else, I was up to like 224. I was just that, for me, that's big. And my knees were starting to hurt. You know, I mean, it was just, I was carrying around a little too much up top, you know, and the knees were like, yeah, we're not really equipped for that. So I went to the gym and I got on a bike and I lost like 30 pounds, you know, and the only way I did that was with the bike. And I, when this hit, I was like, dude, I need to get a bike. So my wife and I actually invested in a Peloton.
And,
we, because she's like, look, it's gym for both of us. We know we can't go outside. We've heard it's the best of the best. If you're going to invest in anything, you've got to invest in your health during this. Because I have a self-destructive instinct that is pretty fucking strong, you know? And so if I was without exercise or without something I really, really genuinely liked, I'd be in trouble during this pandemic. So that Peloton is kicking my ass. I'm a spin class queen. I am just, I love it. I, you know, I in the beginning, I was like, I don't know. I used to make fun of people who did spin classes. So I was like, I don't want somebody in front of me, a cheerleader going, hey, you guys can do it. All right, just 30 seconds. Woo, woo. And honestly, now
push it.
Exactly. You know, and I look at that person doing that and I'm so drinking the Kool-Aid. I am Selma. Yeah, I can't do this for 30 seconds. I am worth it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really, it's just...
Everyone that I've talked to who has one is like almost like yourself or like that. Well, obviously the, you know, you get all the serotonin and stuff like that, but they're like addicted to the Peloton.
It is. I mean, for me, it's a great product, man. It really like just have it, even though I'm not even watching it live. Like it used to be that they would be live because of the pandemic. They can't do it live. They have some of it live, but not very much. Mm-hmm. It's recorded stuff. But see, having a human being there telling me to do 30 seconds at a higher frequency or tension, I would never do that on my own. I would be like, screw that. I'm going to go grab a beer and I'm going to go listen to some metal. You know, like, no.
So do you listen to, do they, I haven't done Peloton class. Do they play music during that?
They do. They actually put the playlist in the, like, you can pull up a class and it'll tell you, like, you know, they're playing, you know, hip hop, they're playing metal, it'll actually give you the artist that they're playing. And if you don't like the artist, like sometimes I'll scroll and I'll see like techno on there. I'm like, nope, thank you. Can't do it.
Not that kind of class. Yeah.
No.
Dope. Well, give me some nuggets of wisdom. What did you learn this last, you know, during the pandemic or like now that things are kind of opening up or like, you know, traveling to Santa Rosa or New York City, like hit me with some nuggets here.
You know what? Okay. It was the biggest thing for me, Josh. It was finding home again. It was really, you know, it really focused me on my neighbors. It focused me on my city again. It focused me on the businesses, the local chefs, the local creators, the local, you know, servers, bussers, dishwashers, everybody in this, you know, industry that I'm in, the restaurant that we're in, the restaurant industry. You know, it really made me say, I want to focus in on my own city again. Mm-hmm. You know, like I've been a little distracted for the last 4 years, you know, 10 years, whatever. And distraction is the name of my, you know, is the name of our lives, you know, it made me want to tell the stories of every single little mom and pop shop and not ignore, you know, the big restaurants and the people that have worked their asses off to have like this marquee 5-star place too.
Yeah.
I'm still going to tell Richard Blaze's story. You know, I'm still going to tell it, but I'm also going to go down and I just got off the phone with, you know, a guy moved here from Louisiana and he was telling me the story about how, you know, his dad did 30 years in prison for, you know, distributing crack. And he like moved out to San Diego and opened up this really killer spot, you know, called Streetcar. It's a fried chicken
on Lincoln.
You know?
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a few places like that that I'm like, those are the stories I want to tell. I want to really invest in the immediate culture around me again, man.
Amen. You know, yeah. And I love that.
This. You know, I mean, just like talk to you, you know, like talk to my neighbors. Mm-hmm. This is way more important to me. And I think to, you know, to our city that we just really focus again on the immediate surroundings. You know, they always say, you know, like think global, act local, and that works in every single way of your life. Yep. You know, I mean, so I'm back to telling all the stories about San Diego, man. And I cannot wait. I'm trying to move every aspect of my life. I'm not giving up grocery games. I love, you know, going, love going up and taking Guy Fieri's shit. You know, I mean, I'm his punching bag, you know, and he makes fun of me and I make fun of him back. And, you know, we've been working together for like 465 years, you know, and I'm going to continue doing that, you know, but the rest of the time I want to be here.
That's awesome. Yeah. One of the producers called me to be on one of the shows or whatever. She's like, "What's up, fam? You want to be on?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I know. I think I know. Oh yeah, you work with Troy or whatever." And she's like, "Yeah, great. I think you might know who it is." She's like, "Yeah, we're looking for crazy chefs like yourself to be on the show." And I'm like, "Whoa, I don't even. How did you get my number? Like, you know?" And then she goes, "Okay, so tell me a little bit about yourself, fam." And I'm Harvest Kitchen. I do a boutique catering, organic. She's like, "Oh, okay, fam. Well, this time we're just looking for chefs who have a restaurant." So blah, blah, blah. I was like, "Okay, well, just give me a call if you need something else." She's like, "All right, fam. Thanks a lot." and then we just stopped talking. Like, I was like, "Okay." Well, we talked for like 3 days, and then when she found out it was this or that, she's like, "Oh, never mind." You know.
You know, anybody, I love how people have those like little idiosyncrasies about their speech, and they're just like calling you fam. You're like, "You know, well, the one thing you need to know about me is that I'd appreciate it if you stopped calling me fam." You know, like, again, it's nothing personal whatsoever. It's just I'm not responding well to it.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So then I know we'll wrap it up, but like, what music, you know, what should I check out, or what restaurant should it, what should I do? What should I check out? Music and food. Hit me with a food, hit me with the music.
All right. So right now, the band that I'm loving is Mandolin Orange.
Mandolin Orange.
Yeah.
Play on words.
In fact, I've got to actually look this up to make sure that's the right band. I'm actually typing it in right now. Yes, it is. Mandolin Orange. It's folky, just like, I don't know. I grew up listening to Mark Kozelek, you know, and, you know, just like, you know, Cat Power and that sort of stuff. Like, I love that sad shit, you know, and that's that. It's sad and beautiful at the same time. So that's the one I'm listening to. And then for food, there's this little place, man, in San Diego called Bowlegged Barbecue. It's out in Oak Park, and
Oak Park.
Yeah, you drive up to this place and you look at the signage and whatnot, and it's nothing to write home about. I mean, it's just a stucco little one-story place. It doesn't have a plant wall. It doesn't have an Instagrammable location, you know. And you walk in, though, as soon as you walk in the door, you know, it's just an explosion of Black musicians. It's
and
just
the whole
like
family's there.
And the whole family is there. They have 10 people, all the people that work there, 10 of them are family. They are literally blood. And so you walk in and every single inch of the place is covered in, like, you know, frame photos of great Black players and Black musicians and Black culture and everything else. It just explodes. I mean, there's not one inch. It's not covered. And then you walk back to the back, and it's just everything you want this barbecue place to be. You know, it's just like these gazebos that you could get in Home Depot, and you know, you give the right friends beer and they put it upright for you, or
you
like kind of right, but it falls down again in like a month. Yeah. You come back and you get more beer and they fix it, you know, that sort of thing, you know. But that's it. And the owner, my wife and I were there on a Wednesday night, and there was nobody there. And we felt like we kind of like walked into this family meeting. It turns out it was actually the guys that owned it, and they were the only guys in the back, and they were hanging out, smoking cigars, doing, like, you know. And I was like, I kind of feel like I just don't want to step on their, you know, like their fun time, you know. And sure enough, they just open their arms. One guy walks over, he's open arms, like, "What's going on? Who are you guys? How you guys doing?" And just,
that's awesome.
I mean, welcome to me like family. The ribs are fantastic, you know. I mean,
nice.
It was just one of those places that, like, that's what barbecue should be about. Like, this backyard party where you feel like you walked in
exactly
a lost relative, man.
Yeah. I know when we throw barbecues back here in our backyard, it's like everyone's hanging around my grill. It's not, we're not really like, you know, doing it. I mean, we have tables and stuff, but everyone ends up at my grill.
Absolutely.
They're at the grill talking to me. You know, I have a bottle opener, right? But, you know, like, it's just, that's the center. It's like at the carne asada, or at the, if we're doing ribs or whatever, it's like, that's the center of the place. And I think it's cool that you say that, because I think we have definitely seen a shift in, no offense to Michelin or Zagat ratings, but like going down from that back to the roots of where we started from, you know. Like, there's a reason Richard opened Crack Shack next to Juniper and Ivy, or there's a reason why there's a reason why we all do pop-ups. You know, it's because that we want to go back to kind of like how we were raised or how we started, or, you know, I could see you, you know, doing one.
Well, that's it, man. I mean, you know, you've been cooking, you know what I mean? And that's what it's all about. You get so mm-hmm. far. I mean, and there's great things to be learned like from classic French chefs. But I mean,
sure.
Even I talked to William Bradley of Addison, you know, our only Michelin star restaurant in San Diego. And he was mm-hmm. like, man, you know, like I love doing like regular food. You know, I just a long, slow braise on a good piece of meat, you know,
heck like, yeah.
That's it. You know, and I think we're all kind of craving taking the, it's not that it's artifice, because it's there. The good restaurants, those big restaurants, are trying to do something special, you know,
and they deserve their accolades.
Absolutely.
They deserve it.
I don't understand people that hate on like the fancy.
I know.
I'm like, dude, they work. These are guys that work their asses off, guys and women who work their asses off in this career for so long, you know, like,
right.
Do not shit on them right now. Come on. Mm-hmm. Finally, I paid their dues and finally have their moment in the sun, you know, but I'm like, they also, but also don't forget about the tiny little places, man. They're just cooking simple food. Right.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, you heard it here. Family Cast, Troy's recommendations. Well, I'll do some closing music and, you know, try to find Mandolin Orange. That's a great play on, that's a pairing. That's a pairing right there. You know,
absolutely. Dude, I gotta say this, Josh. Everybody can't see this. I don't know if you're gonna show the video or not, but Josh has a very much better room than I do. He has like decorations. He's got a zarape back there. You know, he's got some art. He's got some music. He's got a San Diego Padres hat on a skateboard. I mean, I have like one child's toy on its face behind me in a very generic home. So I'm gonna try to step up and my artisticness in my life to mimic yours. So I appreciate you bringing me on for the inspiration.
Let the heart overflow. All you have to do is, you know, just throw a zarape on. That looks perfect every time. So
perfect, brother.
Cool. Well, thanks, Troy, for your time. I really appreciate it.
Good. And thank you, man.
I hope to see you at Bowlegged Barbecue pretty soon.
Absolutely.
Let's meet up.
I'll be in the back, man.
All right, bro.
All right. See you, bro.
Take care. Wow, wow, wow. There you have it, my friends. Mr. Troy Johnson, thank you for your time, sir. I can't wait to share some lunch with you, maybe have some barbecue, talk about some funny, funny things, because you are a very funny person. And more importantly, you seem like a good father and husband to your family. So I appreciate you for that. Thank you for all that you do for our scene in San Diego, putting us on the map, showcasing all the talent of the artists that are chefs and everyone involved in restaurant industry as a whole. Also, I wanted to shout out, you can check out all of Troy's work. He's obviously on Twitter and Instagram a lot. He uses his Twitter account for most of his jokes. He'll test out things on Twitter, and if they're a hit, you'll see them end up on his Instagram account, which is at Hey Troy Johnson, and his website, heytroyjohnson.com. That's heytroyjohnson.com. Check him out there. You can contact him. You can look at all of his blog posts, his book information, other links to other fun stuff, all involved with Troy himself. You can also catch him on, you know, various TV shows like Guy's Grocery Games on the Food Network. And you can find clips of him elsewhere on YouTube doing different fun things. So I am going to play some music. But first, I wanted to say thank you for listening to the podcast in general. Be sure to subscribe, of course. You know, you hear this a lot on podcasts. But there's a reason why. Is because it's kind of pointless to just have the conversations and have no one listen to them. So tell somebody about the show, subscribe, rate, review, share, and support. If you have an extra few dollars a month, maybe go to patreon.com/familycast and subscribe that way. There's some bonus stuff. There's some perks. There's some merch, all that kind of stuff, baby. And I also wanted to shout out my son, Xander. He's been making more music for the shows. Been putting those in the, you know, background while I'm talking. He's very stoked on it. He's excited that people like his music, and I want to encourage that in my children, whether it's Eden singing, Xander making music. I'm trying to get rhythm into some production stuff also for this. I just want to see what their talents are, and I really want to push people into their strengths. I feel like that's the best way to build somebody up, is to take what they're good at already and build on that, instead of always trying to teach people new things, which I also like to do too. But hey, if Eden likes playing piano and singing, can we lean into that a little bit more? Can we get you going with some more, maybe some lessons or anything like that? Hey, Xander, you like making music? Go for it, man. You can have all the screen time you want if you're doing music, you know? Productive. We want to keep that going. Also, I did want to shout out that today, as I'm recording this, it is International Women's Day, which I believe every day we should be celebrating and promoting the women in our lives. Obviously, every single human being on earth is born of a woman's body, comes from a woman's womb. So I just wanted to say thank you to all the women in my life, all the women in my past that have raised me, taught me lessons, all my teachers, mentors in my life that are women. I can't thank you enough for all your help and support throughout my life and present day and future. Thank you to women in the restaurant industry. Shout out to all my friends who are female brewers, food service operations, management, any kind of leadership position, all the women who are just starting out in the industries, working their way up. Shout out to you. Thank you for what you do. You're a big part of my life. You're a big part of the industries. We could not do it without you. A lot of the industries that I'm involved with are, you know, male dominated, whether that's the restaurant and food service and beverage industries, the, you know, beer, coffee, everything like that, music, everything. Actually, a lot of industries male dominated. We need to be supportive of the women that are doing this, because, like I said, we all came from a woman's body and we need to respect that. So this is not some kind of feminist rant or any kind of equality thing. It's like respect. Just have some respect for everybody. But especially since this week is International Women's Day and I love my ladies in my household, shout out to you. I respect you forever. Well, fam, it's been real. And before I sign off, you know, like I usually do, I'm going to play some music of, you know, things that were related to the show that we just had, or things that I just feel like playing because I can do that. And until I see you again, or until you hear my voice on this show again, I hope that you're listening every week and listening to the bonus episodes that I drop here and there, like little nuggets of podcasting here and there in between the releases every Monday. I just wanted to bid you a fond farewell and be kind to one another. Don't forget, because it's free and most people like it when you're kind to them. Okay. So that's enough rambling for this week. Until next time. Ciao, ciao.
There's nothing happy about that music, is there? It sounds just the opposite of happy. It sounds sad. And it is sad. Sometimes we all feel sad. Sometimes everything we do seems to go wrong. And this makes us feel sad. We all have times like this. Music does too. Did you ever try putting your sad feelings into music? Listen. Now let's play or clap with music that is sad. Wait for the introduction, then begin.
I'm a negative dream.
Yeah, that was a small band called Nirvana playing Negative Creep off the Bleach album, which is the album that came out before Nevermind. So if you're familiar with Nirvana Nevermind, you might want to check out Bleach as well. That song, Negative Creep, that was a staple in their live show. If you ever saw Nirvana live, I'm envious of you. I never got to see them. And in the first episode ever of this podcast, I was talking to Mogan about Nirvana, Bleach, because if you haven't gone back, you should check it out. But basically I was saying, somebody's like, you don't want to listen to Nevermind. That's the commercial stuff. You want to hear this stuff. This is the original good stuff. So I'm glad I got to have Bleach in my lineup because I do like that record a lot. And the lyrics are kind of a downer also, but the you can't deny that awesome riffage. Also, Nirvana sounds like Foo Fighters and vice versa, because you know Dave Grohl was in Nirvana. I hope that you knew that. But for those of you that didn't know, Dave Grohl was the drummer of Nirvana. There you go. So I'm going to play, obviously, I think I'm going to play a few more songs because it's that kind of show. It's that kind of time. So here's a fun one from my early days of punk rocking. And it's off an album called Punk and Drublic by a band called NoFX. And the song is The Cause. Because I do believe that there is a cause that we all do as musicians and that we all try to fight for or whatever. So the song is just, it's a minute, 38 seconds or something like that. And it just kind of explains it all right there. So enjoy NoFX, The Cause. Here we go.
Is it for the money? No, it isn't for the fun. It's a plan, a scam, a diagram. It's for the benefit of everyone. You gotta have a little respect. Subterranean ideals. Tradition, no neglect. Reflect on how it makes you feel. The cause, we're just doing it for the cause. No, it isn't for the fortune. It isn't for the fame. It's a scheme, a dream, or buttering. We want everyone to think the same. Cause you know what you know is right. And you feel what you can ignore. And you try so hard to point the blame. A shame, what are we doing this for? The cause, we're just doing it for the cause. The cause, we're just doing it for the cause.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Just kidding, that's the Kool-Aid Man. This is to let you know that we got a new friend, a new buddy for the podcast. There's a thing out there and it's called Liquid Death. What is Liquid Death? It's mountain spring water. But is it water? Yeah, it's in a can. It looks like it might be some other kind of beverage, but it's sparkling mountain spring water. What's cool is that it's in a can and that's infinitely recyclable, right? So plastic is doing damage to our earth, to the ocean in particular. Let's start using more recyclable materials than plastic. That's why they say death to plastic is one of their slogans, among other slogans like murder your thirst, which I find hilarious. So murder your thirst by quenching it with Liquid Death. If you want to find out more about Liquid Death, go to their website, liquiddeath.com, and get some stuff. When you do, put in the code. Use FAMCAST as your promotion code. You'll get some prizes and fun stuff and who knows what else they'll give you. I don't know. They're crazy like that. Anyways, liquiddeath.com. Use FAMCAST, FAMCAST at checkout. And we will talk to you soon. Oh man, I feel like I'm on a roll. I can't stop sharing these songs with you. I have so many songs that I play in the kitchen, so many songs that inspire me and pump me up. I always say that because I just feel like I need to put that energy back into your ears right now. So many of the guests I've had on and playlists that I've done are that the conversation keeps coming up about supergroups or, you know, super bills or super, you know, artists or anything. But basically what I'm saying is like all-star cast of band members. So like, for example, a couple episodes ago, I interviewed Aaron from Essex Coffee Roasters, but he's not just a coffee guy, right? He's a musician and he's been in all these bands, and at least two of his bands are, you know, what we would say is a supergroup for that genre, like Only Crime. The singer is Russ from Good Riddance. The drummer is Bill from Descendants. And the other musicians kind of rotate in and out, and Aaron's in that band. And Aaron's also in Be Well. And that's a super group of all stars from the hardcore scene, hardcore punk and melodic hardcore and all this kind of stuff. So that's just for an example. And that's just one guy that's in two bands that have multiple musicians. I'm not comparing us, but St. Didacus that I'm doing now is kind of like that too. Like it's not like a full band with like four permanent members. It's like a bunch of different musician pals that I have get together. And we kind of just do songs together. It's fun. I see why people would do that. Cause you don't have to have a certain sound for your band. If it sounds like your, I guess, quote unquote, original band or whatever, the band that you're already in. So I'm not showing you a St. Didacus song here yet. I'm just saying, this next band is what I would say is an all-star lineup of musicians. They are called Last of the Believers. They put out an EP in 2007, Paper Ships Under a Burning Bridge. It was self-released. And let me tell you, they killed it on this EP. Members, Chris from Reach the Sky, who later went into Rise Against, who has moved on from Rise Against since then. But Brett from Ignite is in the band. Steve and Nick are in the band, and they were in Spark of Life, which was a hardcore band on Lorelei Records, which is owned by Good Riddance singer and Only Crime singer Russ Rankin. And then drummer Nick is amazing too. I'm sorry, drummer Philip. I've got that wrong. Anyways, back to the song I'm going to play is Descent. It's an EP, so there's not a ton of songs to choose from, right? All of the songs are very enjoyable. I often sing these songs when I'm in the kitchen or when I go into the walk-in cooler and I want to scream and sing really loudly. You know, it's kind of soundproof in there. If you've never sang in a walk-in cooler refrigerator, I do highly recommend it. It's a pretty awesome experience. Or screamed or cried or whatever you want to do in there. The song is Descent, and they have a lot of songs but they have any song from this EP could have made this cut for like an awesome song to show you. But I wanted to show you this one. I like the groove. I like the feel. It gets you going. It gets you, it gets your fist pumping in the air. They actually have a song on the EP called Fists Up, but I didn't do that one this time yet. You know me, you never know. So Last of the Believers, Descent. This is out of print you can get it. You can find it on like Discogs. I put a link in the description. I recommend go find it, go stream the whole EP, go look on wherever you find your music. You know, I'm not going to support any particular streaming service or whatever, but go find it for yourself. And if you do find a copy of the vinyl or whatever, let me know. I might take it off your hands because I only have it on my iTunes. Anyhow, here is Last of the Believers, Descent. Let's get crazy.
Fight!
Well, I guess I played more songs than I intended to. I got so excited. Like I said, I felt like I was on a roll. I mean, there's many, many more songs to show you, but I can wait till the playlist episodes or till I have guests who are have their own music on, you know, stuff like that. So, until then, be sure to go check out Troy's stuff, whether that's his book stuff, online, Twitter, Instagram, all of his stuff that he does. Support him. He's the artist, the kind of people that I have on the show. Support chefs, support restaurants, support everything. Support, support, support. I know, I keep saying that. But seriously, though, these artists that I'm playing on here, they're not getting money from the show. But yeah, you could help out if you can. You know, even if you buy a dollar song off iTunes or Bandcamp or whatever. Also, the reason I do link to Bandcamp a lot is because the artist gets more money from the sale of the song on Bandcamp than other stuff. So I always try to link directly to their Bandcamp or to their private page because that's the better way to support the artist. I'm talking about musicians there. And for Troy's stuff, you can just go to his website to link directly to all of his stuff. So yeah, all the links to all this stuff is in the show notes. So feel free, get in touch with me if you want. I have spoken enough, and I bid you a fond farewell, as usual. Until next time we get to dig into some stuff. Yeah, maybe I'm going to go take a nap. Ciao.